It's here and now. The Zika virus is officially a global health emergency of international concern. That's the pronouncement today from the World Health Organization. Now, few people had heard of Zika before last month when Brazilian health officials announced that they had seen 4,000 cases of infants born with microcephaly, small heads and underdeveloped brains, over the last year, and that the defects were probably linked to Zika. We're joined now by Professor Scott Weaver. He's the director of the Institute for Human Infections and Immunity at the University of Texas Medical Branch. He's with us via Skype from Galveston. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
And where did this virus come from originally? It was first found in an African monkey back in the 1940s, right?
That's right. We think that the virus originated in Africa probably much, much earlier than 1947. But it was discovered there really by chance when scientists were looking for yellow fever virus in a cycle that's known to occur in Africa involving monkeys and mosquitoes that live in forest habitats. And so monkeys were put out in that forest as sentinels, and one became infected with Zika virus. And then the following year, the virus was also found in mosquitoes living in that forest.
And does it have to be a mosquito who has actually bitten somebody or some animal that is infected with Zika, or do the mosquitoes then spread the virus to their offspring?
Yeah, so mosquitoes do become infected by feeding on an animal like a monkey that has virus in the bloodstream, or viremia. And then there has to be an incubation period where the virus replicates in the mosquito, spreads to the salivary glands before it can be transmitted.
And do the mosquitoes then spread the virus to their offspring?
We don't know yet whether there can be a transmission from a female mosquito to her progeny or vertical transmission. We need to do some experimental work and also look for evidence of that with field studies.
But at this point, it is thought then that every mosquito who is carrying the Zika virus is actually bitten something or somebody with the Zika virus.
That's correct, except if vertical transmission does occur. But for most of these kind of viruses, the rate of vertical transmission tends to be very low.
So we were talking about the first instance of this back in the 1940s. How has it been over the decades? How many people in the world in general have Zika virus at any given time?
Well, between the discovery and 2007, there were only 14 human infections documented anywhere in the world during six decades. So that's part of the reason we know so little about this virus now. However, there were studies done to look at populations of people in Africa and Asia to see if they had antibodies against Zika virus, which would indicate that they had been exposed to the virus. And actually, some populations had very high levels of immunity, suggesting that there was a lot of transmission going on. It was just never detected.
So what happened back in 2007 to bring Zika back to the front pages?
So the virus was introduced into Yap Island in Micronesia, which is a small island with a population of only a few thousand. But studies done there by the Centers for Disease Control identified a little over 100 cases of disease, and they estimated that perhaps as many as 73% of the population was infected during that outbreak.
Do we have a sense of why? Why there are so many cases now? Why this has blown up in this way?
Well, we don't know for sure, but there are a few hypotheses or theories that I think are leading at this time. One is that the virus has changed recently. While it was circulating somewhere, probably in Southeast Asia, it either became more efficient at infecting mosquito vectors, and that could result in much more efficient circulation and infection of many more people. Or perhaps it became more efficient at infecting people and causing higher levels of virus in the bloodstream. And that could also explain more efficient transmission, because mosquitoes become infected only when the amount of virus in the bloodstream exceeds a certain level. And it could also explain the microcephaly that we're seeing now, because if there's more virus in the blood, that may increase the potential for infection of the fetus, which could lead to microcephaly if this link does turn out to hold up.
What's going to stop this virus, do you think?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be stopped very quickly or very efficiently. It's going to take a few years to develop a vaccine or therapeutics for Zika. Really, the only measures we have available right now to implement at the scale of this outbreak, which is, I think, very soon going to be all of Latin America, all the Caribbean, is to try to control the mosquito vectors. Aedes aegypti, what we think is the main vector, is a very difficult mosquito to control because the larvae exploit standing water found in drinking water storage, refuse in people's yards. And then the adult female mosquitoes, the ones that transmit the virus, tend to enter and stay in people's houses. So it's very difficult to simply spray insecticides off the back of a pickup truck like we typically do in the U.S. And it's important to note that this mosquito, Aedes aegypti, stays indoors and it bites all day long. So you have to protect yourself with a little bit different strategy than Americans are used to if they travel to Latin America or the Caribbean.
That's Professor Scott Weaver, who is director of the Institute for Human Infections and Immunity at the University of Texas Medical Branch, speaking with us about Zika. Thank you so much, Professor.
You're welcome.
And Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young from Iowa Public Radio in Ames. This is Here and Now.